Good evening.
What's up, Greg?
Hello, Greg.
What this? What this? One, two.
Hello?
Oh, there we are. A little bit better. One, two.
Okay. Good evening. Well, if you stand tonight and one more session, then you get some relief. Somebody else will be in here for a while then. We got a full schedule tonight. If I go slow enough, get it all out. Real busy class. With a very, very familiar story, but it is so full of things that we need to know and learn. So we'll go through it right quick, and if you got comments, bring them up. Let's talk about it. We'll make some points as we go through here. Story of David and Bathsheba, one of the most prominent stories in the Bible, probably. We've led up to this point all the way back from when they said, give us a king, back in 1 Kings chapter 8. Through Saul, through David, he's at the pinnacle of his reign. We talked about that over and over. Thanks to God, better and better. And his relationship with God is great. Borders of his kingdom spread. Treasures, riches. I mean, it's things that have been building and building and building and building. Really, really going great for David. But, tonight he loses focus. Just for a short time. And that one lost focus then starts his downhill plunge. And we won't get into it this quarter, but next quarter, as you go through the next part, it'll just continue, just a downhill spiral for David as he fights this. So let's move into 2 Samuel chapter 11. We'll start talking about it. A little background, introduction. Why is David a man after God's own heart? Yeah. We get into that tonight big time. We think, oh, well, David's man after God's own heart because what he's done so far has been right in line with what God wanted. Okay. God led him out of the sheep pasture to the position he is now. Things are going great for him. Easy to be a man after God's own heart there. But tonight when David stumbles, how's he still a man after God's own heart? Pretty much hit the nail there in that. When he does sin, what'd you do about it? Call his attention? Does something about it, right? He doesn't just ignore it. And we'll talk about that big time. But think about that. Don't lose focus. That's why he's called him after God's own heart. Because how he reacts to his sin is a big part of that. And that's the point here. David did not fail to repent of his sins. When they were exposed, when Nathan brought them out to him, he knew it. But sometimes we all know it if it takes somebody coming to us and saying, look, you sinned. You need to do something about it. And how we react to that is the point. David never lost focus of who God was. His relationship with God, even though he turned his back on God, and God despised what he did. Keep that in mind as we go through it tonight. So, look at verse 1. We talked about this verse last time. It tied into the battles that we were discussing in the last chapter. Spring of the year, when the king is normally go out to war. They do that because, of course, wintertime, not a good time to have your soldiers out in the field. So springtime, time to go out to battle. And it says when kings go forth to battle. What's different about that verse? In our story tonight. David didn't go. Okay. David's the king, but he didn't go out to battle. He sent Joab. Now, did Joab handle it? Yeah, he does handle it. We'll see that last part of chapter 12. But David didn't go. And that set the stage then for what happened with David tonight. Because he's in the city when the army's gone out to battle. So, he's on his roof. Of his palace, this palace that Hiram built, as far as we know is where he was, up from a nap, maybe an afternoon nap, and he looks out and he sees Bathsheba bathing in such a way that it somehow exposed her enough that it got David's attention. Yeah. Did Bathsheba do anything wrong? We don't know that. Nothing said about it, right? Nothing said that Bathsheba should not have done what she did. It seems to be a pretty obvious question. Was she as careful as she could have been about what she did? And after that, probably no. Or David would not have seen her the way he did. So maybe she wasn't quite as discreet as she could have been. But there's no conversation about Bathsheba, and she should have done something different. It's all about David and how he reacted to it. So, it's all about what David did once he saw Bathsheba. Now, up at this point, is there a problem? Nothing major. Bathsheba, maybe, like I said, should have been more discreet. David sees her, but if David had turned away from her and stopped right then, what? 2 Samuel 11 and 12 would be the same 2 Samuel 11 and 12, but an entirely different story. Because it's we all see things and things happen to us. But we react to them, we turn away from them, and it's over and done, and it's gone. Yeah. Yeah, takes off on a rooftop next door, and that's just where it was normally done. But it should have been more discreet, maybe, but it's how David reacted to it. And if David had stopped right here, that's the point I'm going to get to. If David had stopped right here, a different story. But he didn't. We know that. So much. I know a lot of you know the story. So much sorrow. So much pain for David could have been avoided if he had stopped right here. Because the rest of his life, and we're going to see the consequences in a minute, we'll get to them. But the rest of his life is defined by this moment. His whole life from here on, the rest of his life is defined by how he reacts to this moment. Forgiven? Yes, we'll get to that. The consequences are big. Now, when we get to the parable of Nathan in a minute, let's remember this point. Did David have wives or concubines already? Yeah. How many? Don't know. Okay, enough? Obviously, because we would get to in a minute where God said, David, if you want anything else, I'd have given you that too. I mean, you had all you wanted, but I could have given you more, David. So, the other point to keep in mind here, how old's David by now? Have I thought about that? Commentators say he's probably at least 50. Some say he's older than that. So he's not like a young, not knowing kid running around here, if you will, excuse me. Okay. 50 years old, probably at least at this point in his life. Last part, or the next part. David sends to ask who she is. Is this not Bathsheba? And what's that about her? The wife? The wife of Uriah? Now, what if she'd been single? Well, if David had taken did what he had done with her, it'd still been wrong. But at least he could have taken it as one of his wives or concubines, and it would have been a different thing if it comes to the king. But the point, when he asks who she is, she's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. She's a wife. Somebody. Not just somebody in this case. We'll get to that in a minute too. I won't go through all this on the screen up here now. It's who she is, the name of her father in 1 Chronicles versus what it is in 2 Samuel, things like this. And Ahithophel is mentioned up here. She's probably maybe the granddaughter of Ahithophel. That comes in later in the story. Just remember that name when we get down to Absalom. Ahithophel comes in. So, a little background there. Uriah, who is Uriah? one of David's mighty men. This top elite, probably 30, some people say 37, top elite guys in David's army. Like David's inner circle of soldiers, if you will. David's mighty men to refer to more than one time. Uriah's one of them. A key man to David. So far nothing stopped him. David looked, saw her, asked who she was. She's the wife of one of your key men, one of your mighty men. That's not David yet. So he sends for her. Now, what if she refused to come to David? No indication she did or she, what she might have said about it, but I think, what if she did? Who's David? The king, okay? Who's Uriah? Right. That's right. And not only that, she's a wife of one of your inner circle guys type thing. I mean, are you going to refuse the king? Yeah, if it had been just a little bit of resistance hurt, we don't know, okay? She may have put up some resistance and David overrode it. I don't know, but a little bit of resistance might have stopped. And then the sin. James 1. We all know this passage. We're tempted, we're drawn away by our disease, gives birth to sin, sin or us. David, this is the wife of one of your nobles. If David does this, comes back, and she says, oh, I'm pregnant by the king. Uriah. They're over. Cross the, got to cover this thing up. But Uriah, when Uriah comes back, what's David asking? Oh, how's the war going, David? I'm like, Uriah, by the way, give me an update on the war. What's David added to it now? Deceit? That way he wanted Uriah to come back. Of course not. There's hypocrisy and deceit on David's part as he talks to Uriah about this whole thing. So he says, Uriah, you've been gone. You've been off to battle. Get down to your house. Wash your feet. And Uriah explains wash your feet when he got into verse 11 here in a minute, kind of what David was implying, but he says that, go down to your house and wash your feet. But he said that, go down and see your wife. Okay? And that would be logical. I've been gone to battle for a while. What's Uriah do? The king's palace, the door of it with the servants. That's where he spent the night. What exactly what David had in mind? Okay. Now, was it just honor to the king, honor to the soldiers? Why did he choose this? There's some reference here in 1 Samuel 21 when David's with the priest wanting to show bread. He says, I can give you things the men with you have not been with a woman for a period of time or whatever. Some chastity code among the soldiers, those fighting with David, I don't know. Is that part of it? Just a speculation, but at least that does come into play possibly there. Uriah proves himself to be a true, shows honor to Joab and the other men that are out fighting. He doesn't go home to his wife. So, now they tell David. He's got a problem. Uriah didn't do what he wanted to. He's got to think about something else. So here's what Uriah says. The Ark of Israel is in a booth. Where's the Ark living now? It's in a tent, right? David hadn't got the temple that had been built yet. And all my fellow soldiers are out in the open. They're out in the battle over there. Why would I go home to my wife and dishonor them? Basically what Uriah says. I won't do this. So David says, okay, stay another day in Jerusalem. But what he's saying is, let me think of something else. Let's try something. Plan B here. So what'd you do the next night? Brought Uriah into a dinner, and what'd you do to him? Gets him drunk. Like, that's going to solve his problem. Okay, now he'll go home to his wife. Or what he's doing. I didn't do it. So now David's got to really go another step. So by his own hand, Uriah carries a letter to Joab that essentially says what? Yeah, this is how many killed. He carries a letter back to Joab, says, here, read this, Joab. What does it say? It says, how many killed? He wants to be dead. Hey, Joab, being the father of this king he was, did it. So he sent him in the thick of the battle, and he withdrawn from, and they killed him. Solving David's problem, at least as far as prettiness is concerned. If David brings Bathsheba in, as he does, in a reasonably fast manner. So Uriah and some others die in this battle. Joab's going to send a messenger back to David now and says, go tell David about the war. Tell him, this has happened, this has happened, this has happened, this has happened. And a bunch of men got killed. And David said, oh, why'd you get so close to the city wall where they could shoot down arrows on top of the city wall to you? What you going to add to that? What you going to add to it? What's your next little message? Oh, and by the way, Uriah's dead too. Don't solve it. The messenger comes back and he just tells David he didn't even wait. The messenger didn't. He gets to the end to tell David that. He just tells him up front. The battle's got such and such happening, and by the way, Uriah's dead. Now, how'd David react to that? What'd David say? He sent back to Joab. What's his words to go back to Joab? So what? Go to war. What happens? What happens in war? People get killed, right? Big deal. That's almost like David's attitude. Send back to Joab and say the sword devours men in war. Right? Don't worry about it. David, where are you going? Down, 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 down. So Bathsheba learns of her husband's death. She mourns for a period of time. And she becomes David's wife. Now this has to be in some reasonable haste because the baby coming, right? Now David's got all his problems solved. Did he have intention of marrying Bathsheba when he first took her in with him? No indication of that at all. Was his last resort when Uriah wouldn't solve his problem for him. Last resort, the way to solve his problem. And then you get the last part of the chapter. This is one of those native end things. What does verse 27 say? As if we had to ask, right? This thing displeased the Lord. Oh, yeah. David's gone. But here's the other key thing. All this is going on, what did God know about it? Everything. David hiding anything from God? He's covered up all this stuff as far as men's concerned, right? How much you cover up from God? Not going to play it. Yeah, well, so far, okay, yeah. Nathan's going to know about it. Better he knows about it from God, okay. It displeased God because God knew about it. He knew everything David was doing. How long did it take us to get that through our heads? When we sin, God knows about it. Yeah, well, I know that. Yeah, I know. I know we all know that. But when that temptation is sitting there, how do we react to it? I got to stop because God sees it. All right. Anything on chapter 11? 25 minutes on that. Now we got 15 minutes to get David solved here. Okay. Yes, sir. I don't know if it was in here or in somebody else, other conversation I had. I can't remember. It was Sunday or whatever. I've had people talk to me about how things going at church. Going great. What's the first reaction? It's going great. You better look out. What? Satan's coming. They don't like that. Okay. That's the way you look at David. David's doing great. What's Satan going to do? Everything he can to tear him down. Same thing with us. Okay. Chapter 12. Sorry, wrong button. There we go. Okay. There's not many parables in the Old Testament. Okay, this is one of them. So Nathan comes to David. Last time we have something that Nathan said to David, what was it? Yeah, that major thing in 2 Samuel chapter 7, right? About how great things are going to be forever with David's offspring, even through Christ and eternity. That's not Nathan's message this time. He comes to tell him of this parable. Here's the characters. The rich man, of course, is David. All the flocks and herds will be David's wives and there and his concubines. This one poor man is Uriah, who is one of the ewe lamb, of course, being his wife Bathsheba. So he tells him the story, and we all know the story, the parable he told him. The stranger came to town, and the rich man came and got one little ewe lamb. Took it and killed it. How did David react to that story? He got more than upset. Okay, he was angry and said, the man deserves to die. Just done this thing. The man deserves to die. What could David not see? What could David not see? He couldn't see in the mirror, right? He could see what this man had done, but he couldn't see what he had done. Does some of us need a mirror? That's the point, Freddie. You're exactly right. Does some of us need a mirror sometimes to see us instead of seeing others? So he had no pity on him. Now, according to the law, Exodus 22, if you take a sheep that didn't belong to you, or a lamb, the restitution was fourfold. Okay, you have four back in its place. But David, that's not the point. Okay. What's the point, David? What's the point you hadn't seen yet, David? So what does Nathan just come out and say? David, you missed the point of my parable. What do I got to do? I got to write down and tell you what to say. David, what? You're the man, David. It's you. The question comes up, I think about here, is how do we approach someone who is in sin, somebody who's sinned against us? We walk up and blatantly saying, look what you're doing. Okay. Well, eventually sometimes it takes that. But how did Nathan approach you to start with? Aaron, as easily, calm as he could, try to give him a chance to see his own sin, right? He couldn't see it. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he made judgment. And thankfully, when Nathan pointed out, David, you're the man, David didn't change his judgment. That's the key. Okay? That's the key to the whole thing. So David's, and the slide says the house of cards, his thing he's built up here in one breath, which he would pull out of a stack of cards. David's whole world blown apart. He thinks he's got this thing handled. But now he has it. God tells him through Nathan, David, look what I did for you. Look what I give you. Okay? I brought you from a shepherd boy to the king of my people. I gave you territory. I gave you riches. You got out one of these battles and you pulled those treasuries back in and the spoil of the battles. David, if it needed something else, what? I'd give it to you. Okay? If you needed something else, I'd give it to you. And we are so blessed. We have so much. And yet, sometimes we just forget where it all came from. David, even though I've been giving you whatever you needed, I'd give you so much, I'd give you more. You despise my word. Despise my word. Totally set aside what you knew was right. And did it. Did David know this? The whole time did David know what was wrong? Sure he did. No doubt in his mind about it. David knew what he was doing was wrong. Just like we know. The lust, the adultery with Bathsheba, the lying, the drunkenness of Uriah, killing Uriah, all this stuff, David knew it was wrong. So here we get into some of the consequences. David, one of them is this. The sword will never depart from your house. From here on, it's going to be blood in David's house. He's got three sons that's going to be killed. Two by his own sons, and one by Joab. Amnon by Absalom by Joab, but David said, don't kill the boy. Adonijah by Solomon. And from then on, it's bloody. It says, David, you took this woman and you lay with her in secret. But I'm going to take your wives or your concubines and they're going to be with another man openly in public. Everybody's going to know what's going on. That's what happens when Absalom comes in and takes over David's wives. Even though David had been in secret, David, you're going to be exposed openly. That'll happen next quarter. There's one more consequence we'll get to in a minute. Thankfully. How did David react? And you see him, his head falling, and he tells Nathan, that's where the girl goes back to what Freddie answered earlier. Here's where the man after God's own heart comes. Yes, wrong to do the sin. Yes, should not have done it. But how do you handle it? No excuses. No blame game. Oh, but Bathsheba, she had to know what she did.
Oh, yeah.
Saul had all kinds of excuses. It's 1 Samuel 13, when they didn't wait for Samuel to make the offering. I had to do it because I didn't think you were coming. The people were going to leave me. 1 Samuel 15, same thing with the Amalekites. Excuse after excuse, not David. This is the only way to react to sin. When we sin, what do? We admit it, confess it, and we deal with it. We don't hide it. Nathan says, Lord, put your sin away. Even though you deserve death under the law of Moses, God's forgiven it. That consequence won't be there. But this here's the third one. We've already seen two, the bloody house and the wives being laid with in open shame to David. There's a third one. The child is going to die. The third consequence. So even though forgiveness was there, consequences are going to be of David the rest of his life. Just like we have to pay the price sometimes what we do. And you almost wonder sometimes if David could have said, God, just kill me. I can't take all this. The child dying, all these things you're going to see is going to happen. All my sons being killed, my own sons. God, just take me. Don't know. Might have been easier for David to think. The child becomes sick. David prays for 7 days without food, and he's on the ground, on the earth, praying for that child. Seeking forgiveness for the part that part may be spared. Oh, sorry. David's sin is going to cause the child to die. Think about that. So the seventh day, the child dies. David hears his servants. They've been all around him, ready to help him up at any time. He hears them whispering, so he kind of knows. He asks, the child dead, and they say yes, the child is dead. What David does next is this word interesting or incredible. David gets up, does three things. Cleans himself up, then fasting for 7 days. What does he do next? He doesn't go get something to eat. What's first? What's most important? Goes to the house of the Lord. Okay. I got to straighten things out there first. And then it goes home. Beat himself up. Goes to worship. And he goes home and takes care of his physical needs. The servants start asking David, why? Why don't you do it this way? Why don't you fast and on the earth for 7 days the child was alive, and then the child dies and you get up and react this way? David had hope. But the Lord, my fears prayer, spared the child. David knew it was God's decision. When the child died, as God said he would, David got him and moved on with his life. Got about 2 minutes. I'm going to give you one application I think of, and we can talk about some more until time runs out then. What did David think about the destination of this child when it died? There is some place it's going, number one, right? David knew where it was, I think. Well, what does David say next about his destination? That's what I'm... Now, what's David just done? heinous multiple sins. David? Where are you going, David? Where that child is. Where's that child? By every implication. So what's the lesson? We sin and then what? We still don't lose sight. What's our destination? Deal with it like David did. It's heaven. David goes in at the time, comforts his wife, but this is her baby that died also, right? And she conceives another son. This was Solomon. The Lord loves Solomon. He's going to be his king after David. David brings a message about Solomon. It's another name from the Lord. Closes it out. Tragic part of David's life. And yet the way David handled it is such a lesson to us. That's the end of our narrative that we get in this quarter. Sunday morning we have four Psalms to look at. Please read those two or three times, if you will. Let's talk about those come Sunday morning. That's the bell. Did I hear it ringing yet? I can't tell. Any comments? Anything else? We wind up. Great story. Everybody knows the story, but think about it. Put some depth to your thoughts. Think about it, what it means to us. Thank you.